Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. My guests today are rapper Rico Nasty and DJ and producer Boys Noize, who spoke to me about their spark, the genre-hopping hit song El Alma Que Te Trajo by Safety Trance and Arca. So this conversation covered a lot of ground, but we did focus quite a bit on Arca's genius and the massive impact that she's had on a very broad cross-section of the musical landscape. We got into the history of dance music and the freedom dance music artists have to shapeshift throughout their career. We talked about queer music history, and of course, we also talked about the close collaboration between Arca and Safety Trance. It's a good one, so get excited. But before we dive in, are you looking for a podcast to keep you writing? On the Inner Loop Radio, Pulitzer Prize winners, poet laureates, and NPR contributors join hosts Rachel and Courtney for candid conversations about how they stay inspired, the most productive writing habits, advice on publishing, and other topics relevant to the writing life. Episodes include interviews, inspiration takeovers, and casual check-ins to chat about the writer's life. You can subscribe right now to the Inner Loop Radio on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or any other podcasting site. Get inspired, get focused, and get lit on the Inner Loop Radio. And now, quick Rico Nasty facts. Maria Cecilia Simone Kelly, known professionally as Rico Nasty, is an American rapper and singer from Maryland. She began self-releasing content in 2014 while in high school and had released 5 solo mixtapes by late 2017. She signed with Atlantic Records in 2018, where she released her 6th mixtape, Nasty. This was followed by the collaborative mixtape Anger Management with longtime associate Kenny Beats, and she has since released 2 studio albums, 2020's Nightmare Vacation and Las Ruinas in 2022. Quick Boys Noize facts. Berlin DJ and producer Alex Ridha, better known as Boys Noize, made his DJ debut at the age of 15. Since then, he has established himself as one of the world's preeminent wizards behind the decks, not only technically, but also as a showman. His sets are as uplifting as they are unforgettable. He's been called one of the top 10 DJs who rule the world by Rolling Stone, best electronic act by Beatport 3 years in a row, and lauded by virtually every dance authority. As an artist and producer, Boys Noize has created a sound that is peerless, uncompromising, and enduring. He's remixed artists like Daft Punk, Depeche Mode, David Lynch, and Nine Inch Nails, collaborated with Snoop Dogg, Jarvis Cocker, and Santigold. Boys Noize also runs his own label, Boys Noize Records, which he founded in 2005. Rico Nasty and Boys Noize released their collaborative EP Hardcore Dreams on March 29th, which means you can listen to it whenever your little heart desires. Quick El Alma Que Te Trajo facts. Venezuela-born, Barcelona-based artist Luis Garbán debuted his Safety Trance alias on Boys Noize Records with his EP Noches de Terror, which expertly collided menacing industrial, EBM, and left-field reggaeton to reveal a soundtrack for uncertain times. Of the EP, Garbán said, "My idea with this record was simply to explore the capabilities of reggaeton and take it to new territories. Many people think that this genre is just what you hear on the radio, when it's definitely not." Noches de Terror produced the hit single El Alma Que Te Trajo, with a guest feature from global superstar Arca, who also co-directed the video. Arca is a Venezuelan musician and record producer based in Barcelona. She released her first two albums, Zen and Mutant, in 2014 and 2015, respectively. Her eponymous third album, Arca, became the first to prominently feature her vocals. From 2020 to 2021, she released the Kick Quintet. These recordings drew from styles such as IDM, reggaeton, avant-pop, techno, and ambient. She has frequently incorporated themes related to gender identity, non-binary identification, and psychosexuality in her work, particularly after coming out in 2018. Arca has also worked frequently with other artists as producer and collaborator. She received production credits on such releases as FKA Twigs EP2 and LP1, and Björk's Vulnicura and Utopia. She has additionally contributed to music by artists such as Kalela, The Weeknd, Frank Ocean, Planning to Rock, Rosalia, Sia, Shy Girl, and Lil Uzi Vert. Okay, now that you're armed with all of that knowledge, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Here comes my chat with Rico Nasty and Boys Noize about El Alma Que Te Trajo. Can either of you, I mean, you can answer this question individually, remember hearing El Alma Que Te Trajo the first time, learning that it was being produced, any of that stuff? Whoever wants to go first.
You go first, Alex, because I feel like you heard about it before I did.
Well, I did because I was the one putting it out on my label. Yeah. So I heard the demo quite early. Mm-hmm. I've signed Safety Trance long time ago. He was releasing under a different name called Carter Pusher, mm-hmm. and he was doing lots of like warehouse acid techno and acid house and this kind of raw version of house. And well, I can start the long story now, which is Luis and Arca, actually they've known each other from their childhood, from Caracas, Carter Pusher. I've signed him, I don't know, more than 10 years ago. And at some point, Luis Carter Pusher started this new sound, what I call like techno reggaeton. Mm. And he started to work with Arca again, who had moved back to, Barcelona. That's where Luis lives. And then they were working and I was visiting, and then Arca was like, "Why don't you come and join us in the studio?" And then we made a song together called Tiro for one of Arca's albums.
Yeah.
And then, and then they made that song, and for some reason Arca didn't put it on her album, and we ended up releasing it ourselves. And for some reason that kind of blew up and became also now one of Arca's biggest songs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So I heard it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm a big Arca fan. I literally love all things Arca. Just feel like she's a bad bitch. I love her cover art. Love her story. I love the way she dresses, like her persona. And I remember hearing that song, and the beginning of it kind of was, it's like a brain fuck. It's like you're expecting it to be some EDM type stuff or something. The beginning of it, just the initial sound, you're just like, you don't know what to expect. And then when the beat drops, the reggaeton mix is just kind of insane. Like, I grew up going to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. So we listened to a lot of reggaeton, listened to a lot of Daddy Yankee. Like,
hell yeah.
We just like listened to a lot of it. So when I listen to artists like Tokisha, Arca, people who make this sound trap and they elevate it and they modernized it and, you know, they even made it like, yeah, their own subgenre. And I think it's kind of like insane. And it's one of my favorite things to see in music. And to be honest, I didn't really start paying close attention to it until I started working with Caliuchis. And I remember doing my song in Spanish. So a lot of people were putting me on to like Spanish artists, like just thinking like, oh, do you listen to this? Because you was singing in Spanish. Like, do you know how to speak Spanish? I do not know how to speak Spanish. But I still love the music. And I think that's like, you know, it was like around the, like, I found out about Rosalia, found out about Arca. It was like a whole like download of just like gorgeous music. And I genuinely just felt like that song in particular, it's really good at setting the mood. Anytime that we've gone out, you played it on the cruise too. That was the first time I heard it live outside my bedroom. And I was like, it just scratches this part of my brain. I don't know if anybody else is like that when they listen to music, but like certain sounds just really like, ugh, like it just feels amazing.
Oh, totally. I can go off on sounds for sure.
Yeah. You and all your modular, your wires.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing every night.
the difference between listening to it at home or, you know, on headphones when you're walking down the street and hearing it out as well. Like, it's such a thrill to me if there's a song that I really love when I'm in a club and it's like, ah, here it comes, you know. So that feeling.
Yes. Love that.
For one track to have so much going on and so like the number of things to talk about in one track is incredible. But I guess as the jumping off point, Arca herself is to me like the embodiment of an artist who has so few barriers. She works in so many different ways.
Yes.
The kinds of music that she makes are so varied, and all of that informs everything that she does. And there's stuff that's like almost ambient and very like calm
classical stuff.
Exactly.
Classical, exactly. It's like it's an experience. Like, it's a full experience.
Right.
And let's not forget Arca is, I started to know Arca as a producer.
That too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she was doing, yeah, she was producing that FKA Twigs album, the first one, which is amazing. She was producing Björk, and she was doing all this crazy IDM stuff before she even started using her voice. She's just crazy on the skills, on like a technical, like producer, music, like all of it comes together. Mm. It's just insane to have it all in one person.
It's very badass. Yeah, it's very badass. And especially like when you just look at also like the visuals for everything, you know. She's just definitely an artist that I'm just intrigued by, and I would love to see even more from them. Like, she's just so hard to me. Like, we could really go on and on. It's like the lore of artists like her is just like so deep.
Yeah.
When I was learning too about, yeah, her working with FKA Twigs, her working with Sophie, her working, like, she just had a lot of like plugs, you know. She's plugged. For sure.
Yeah.
The visuals, I was watching videos, a lot of videos today, and seeing again those videos for like Prada and Rakata, that all of the stuff from like the Kick series is...
That 2-hour long video is genius too. Yeah.
And the ambition, the scope of these things, and she just goes for it. And it's so unique. And so, like I said, it's varied. There's a lot of different styles going on, but it's all so particular to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got this like overall like cyberpunk feeling over everything, right? Everything's kind of futuristic and nostalgic at the same time, like this romantic, future romantic kind of vision is super sick. And you know, I remember like when we made the song, and I pulled up with like a modular system and recorded her vocals through it, and just to do something that she wouldn't necessarily do. But man, my first question was like, man, why do you even need us here? You know, like why, like, yeah. am I worthy, you know, doing production here? And, you know, she just wanted to concentrate and give the vocal and the vocal performance and that like a lot more attention. And I really respect that because, you know, as much as she could do everything herself, I also really respect the fact that she recognizes that if you do a vocal performance, if you are writing, if you record vocals, that's already a great challenge, right? And you want to make sure you can like get the best out of that performance. And so it's really cool to see that she can also put herself in the back and knowing, like having the vision and knowing, okay, this is right now, this is not my part, and I'll leave it to the others to decide where to put what and so ever or whatever. That's a pretty hard skill too, actually.
Yeah, but then knowing what works for other people, and you know, even when she's not on the track as a performer, it's like, I mean, the stuff with Björk is a good example that, you know, part of it is Björk has good taste too, but collaborating with people, having like long-standing collaborations with people who she gets close with, and you can just tell that they understand each other. You can tell there's like a really easy communication, like a language that they both speak, and it makes for such exciting work. And she's so prolific. There's so much going on, but it you know, having this like again with the Kick projects, like an overwhelming amount of music, but it's not like fuck too much, stop. It's like give me more. Yeah, just incredible. With this track, one thing that I think I have to mention that's a little bit of a side note, but I was looking through seeing like kind of reactions to it, and there's people being like, you know, the standard, oh, this track's fire, whatever, blah blah blah. A good 25% is like, did she just meow? Is she making cat noises? What's going on there? And throwing that kind of stuff in too, that it's just like, get a cheeky, you know, personality.
Fun. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that lightness, that it's, she's somebody who that visual style could be.
I mean, to be just as hardcore as she is delicate. I just, you know, it's a lot to look at and learn. Like, I think it's so amazing when I find artists like this who they have like their own world. And it's just like, it's so much to learn from. It's so much to like digest from it, because it's also like, I'm also still just finding out about them. So it's kind of crazy, like hearing still stuff that they've done or hearing like Boys Noise stories about them, because it's almost like, damn, like,
yeah.
This industry is crazy because like you can be popping your shit and just like on your grind consistently. And you like, I wonder if she thinks or is cognizant of this world that she's made, or if it's just like, oh, this is just who I am. And
I think that's it. Yeah. I wanted to touch base on that. I think what you said earlier, Adam, is that everything's so light. I think the reason why everything seems so light and easy and has this, you know, high amount of output is because I feel like she's just her, you know, like with the art and everything, she don't need to change anything. It's the opposite. It's like she can really embrace, she has embraced herself. And so it becomes really easy then, because then you don't have to like, you know, project anything or make your mind about anything. Like, you know, the art, she's doing the art herself in her bedroom, you know, like she's drawing, she's painting, she does that at home. It becomes part of that. And then with the looks, I mean, that's just, you know, just her. And I feel so happy for her that she got to that point to really knowing her and to come out as herself. And and give it all out and not being afraid to hold back. I think that's such a cool thing to, when you discover that with yourself, right? You become very confident in that.
Yeah, because I'm sure the transition from like being a producer to an artist is like, you know, harsh. I've heard a lot of stories from producers and people who do DJing and them turning to artists and how it's kind of like, you know, half and half sometimes. Sometimes they embrace you, sometimes they don't. So just saying when she's done with her career, like everything she seems to like put her mind to and say, oh, I'm interested. And then she's like, takes it all the way there, whether like we said, the music videos or the music itself, the artwork, like to hear that she's like doing her artwork is so crazy. Cause if anybody's listening to this and you've seen Arca's artwork, it's like, it's insane. Amazing.
Yeah.
Time for a quick break because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here, but we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And I think that point about how confident she is, like how comfortable she is in her own skin and how confident she is about her identity and putting queerness and transness and non-binary identity into her music at the forefront and in the visuals. There is something to me about, you know, dance music is a very broad description of obviously hundreds of different kinds of music, but music that comes from, you know, is infused with queerness from its inception. To me, being somebody who came up in clubs, who, you know, dance music has always been a really big part of my life, it's a space for everybody. And it makes sense that, you know, her music wouldn't all be categorized as dance music, but it has that foundation. And for her to be able to take this and become, she's like a superstar. She's everywhere. She is so important to so many people. And having that representation to me is just this, like, it's another facet of it. It's not the whole thing, obviously, the music.
But it is a really big facet of it. It really is. It's a pretty large facet of it, because I feel like people in those spaces, in that community, don't really get a lot of chances to prove ourselves or to prove that we're smart or worth, you know, like it just seems like oftentimes, you know, first impression of everything and then they chuck people off. And that's really why I tied into like the producing aspect of it and then transitioning into an artist, because it's like that is something that is so hard to do naturally. Like I can't even imagine like trying to like produce full on. Like sometimes it's fun, you know, I fuck around, but like to full on do it and like you said, recording the vocals, everything, like that is insane. And to be right so many times on so many different levels is just something to be studied. Like really, really, the grind is insane, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go out there and say that she, might be the greatest artist of our generation right now.
She's my fave.
Yeah, because like, again, so many things. And you know what's really beautiful about her too is like, you know, when you see her perform or you listen to her music, like it makes people so confident as well, you know, being different or not being afraid to really show who you are, you know? And
yeah,
that's so powerful.
Yeah.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. So there's somebody, I mean, I think this is kind of reductive. Somebody who was posting about this? It was Sega Bodega was posting and saying like, this is not reductive. This was a nice thing to say. He said like, trans women in dance music have been making such an impact and talking about people like, you know, Sophie and Octo Octa and Sprinkles and whoever, and how, you know, important it is for representation, but also it isn't just an empty, like, oh, we've got to have trans people that we can hold up. There is a reason for their prominence.
Yeah, yes.
Incredible. I don't want to leave poor Safety Trance out of this conversation.
Our brethren.
Shout out to Lewis. Yes.
So, yeah, but again, like, the contrast between the Cardo Pusher stuff and the Safety Trance stuff, that's another kind of freedom. I think that's something that is unique to the broader dance music ecosystem, is that freedom for people to be able to jump from genre to genre, to be able to explore. I mean, you see what has happened in the last couple of weeks. Beyonce did a country album.
My God.
It's like this, you know, what the fuck is going on? But with dance music, it's like people are allowed to experiment, are allowed to record music under different names. And it's like,
yeah,
people accept it and expect it. And there's no controversy about it. So moving into this space where it's like combining the foundation of what he was already working on with the stuff that Arca was working on, and the marriage of those two things is just so perfect.
Yeah, when I heard the first demos of the Safety Trance stuff, I was like, man, you're really onto something, because it didn't sound like anything else. And now he's basically the guy. Like, anyone else who would make a reggaeton beat and put like, you know, trancey synths, it's like, man, you're like trying to bite him or what, you know? And that's the best. And again, like, at that time when he made that, it wasn't popular, it wasn't, you know, anything you'd hear in the clubs, it wasn't anything other DJ would play, it was just what he was feeling to do and what he got inspired with, you know. And it's so cool that they connected through that and, you know, created basically a sound together.
Yeah. And that's another thing about, you know, dance music artists. When you think about genre, about subcategories of music, you have, you know, rock, and then there's, you know, a few different branches that come off of that rock family tree. And with dance music, it can be so specific, and there are like little micro genres that are popping up all over the place.
Worlds inside of it. Yeah.
And it means that there's constant innovation. There's new stuff flowing in all the time.
Yeah.
And you have moments like this where it's like, oh, here's a new thing. Here's something that is like just tweaks things enough that people pick up on it. And it's like, that's what I want to do too.
That's why I'm so inspired doing what I do, because in electronic music, first of all, you can make anything, you can make any sound of anything. And, you know, I think the most innovation in music is in electronic music, because it's, you know, you can make sounds that you haven't heard. You can combine things that you haven't heard. And that's why I love techno music, because it's like constantly new stuff. It's a little bit different to house music. In house music, you have a bit more sort of a traditional root, but I feel like techno has a bit more freedom in like sound design and what it can be. And yeah, there's so many nuances in subgenres and yeah, how hard, how deep, how whatever, futuristic, how raw. But yeah, that's why we do this, is like
That's kind of what we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How like every city also has like its own, like there's Baltimore Club Mix and there's Jersey Club, then there's, you know, Miami Bass,
right.
Then there's New York, and then there's like, it's just a lot.
Chicago House, Detroit mm-hmm. Techno, exactly. Yeah.
Detroit Techno, it just keeps going.
Yeah. And that specificity, being able to say, this city represents these sounds, or these sounds, you can trace the lineage right back to those places, sometimes to a specific club, to one specific DJ who, you know, gave birth to this whole movement.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
It took this country, the States, a long time to catch up with the rest of the world in terms of appreciating electronic music. And now it is infused in everything in the charts. And
then you have like London Grime,
mm-hmm.
and you have like all this stuff that we've, yeah, that's kind of insane.
Yeah, it took a long time for the US to basically acknowledge that they kind of were also starting this stuff. You know, it was so weird because a lot of the, you know, like Chicago House in the mid late 80s, or like Detroit Techno in the late 80s, early 90s, like those DJs and those acts, they weren't playing in the US. They were all going to Europe and playing everywhere there. And the sound got communicated a lot faster, I believe, because, you know, cities and countries are a lot more closer, and so communication was a lot more easier. But yeah, it definitely took like, you know, 2-3 decades
seriously
for the US to like realize, damn, we were actually like, we had the people who started this stuff, and it just didn't work. You know, it was just, or it could have worked, but you know, I don't know. It just, the infrastructure wasn't just there yet. You know, there was just like little bunkers in Detroit, little warehouses in Chicago, but all the other clubs were so commercial still, and none of those promoters didn't have the power to, like, you know, push something else. Because eventually, if they did it, then I'm pretty sure people would love the stuff, right? It's kind of like the DJ, you know, you can only, I don't know the saying in English, but yeah, I think you know where I'm getting with this.
yeah.
So they haven't even a chance to start to love it because they just didn't hear it.
Right. And it's like, I don't think it was an accident. You know, this is a country that is pretty racist, is pretty homophobic. There's a lot of that stuff going on. When you have music that starts with Black people, with queer people, and you have a country.
Which is so strange, right?
Yeah.
It goes like wild because, yeah, very much that. Like, where was I? I was somewhere else. I was talking to somebody. They were from Brazil. And when I first saw her, she literally like walked up to me. She's like, "You're so pretty." Kissed me on the cheek, like the French ladies do. And, you know, I felt like, I was talking to my friends about it. I was just like, oh my God, people from other countries are so affectionate. Like, they dance, you know, they're just more affectionate. And I don't know, it's weird to pick up on that. But even like the simple body language when you go to clubs, you could tell, like, you know, you could just read the room a lot. So it is very weird. Like, we played most of this, like, our dance stuff overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't really play. I mean, we went to Miami, but like, that's Miami. Like, you take dance music to Miami.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel like as much as we are visionaries, we are late on certain things. But I think that's okay. Like, I think, you know, the States is just like an even blend. Like, it's an even blend of trendsetting, following the trends, making it our own. It's a lot of like, it's like a mixing pot.
Right. And with this stuff, you know, you send it out into the world, you import it to other countries, and then eventually it comes back. So we're here now. Everybody appreciates it.
Yeah.
We're doing okay.
Exactly.
I think that is a lovely note to finish on. This has been so much fun, you guys. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you making time for me. The EP is fucking fantastic. So
thank you.
Congrats on that too.
Glad you like it. Thanks for having us.
Yes. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful chat with wonderful people.
Thanks again to Rico Nasty and Boys Noise for making time for me. Their new EP, Hardcore Dreams, is out now. Okay, quick spark of the week from me. I've been watching Baby Reindeer on Netflix, and it is amazing and weird and unsettling, and it's great. It's based on Richard Gadd's real-life experience of being stalked. He's a comedian, and he plays himself, or a slightly fictionalized version of himself. It's really well done, and no spoilers, but there's a lot of queer interest stuff in it. So it's definitely worth checking out. It started as a one-man show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and then it moved to a small London theater, and then to the West End, and then to BAM in New York, and then to Netflix. And I am a sucker for that kind of journey for a piece of theater, kind of following the Fleabag trajectory. Anyway, I digress. Check it out. And that's about it this time around. Please follow me on social media at SparkParade. And please text this episode to a couple of friends. That'll really help get the word out. It'll mean a lot to me, and, you know, you won't regret it. Okay? And until next time, bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.